Well, we turn in the Word of God to Isaiah 51 that we read, verses 12 to 16. Verses 12 to 16. And the title for the message this evening is An Incomparable Comfort. An Incomparable Comfort. And earlier on, I was wondering whether it was the word incomparable or uncomparable, and I looked up the meaning of both, and the meaning of incomparable is the idea of an intensive. Thus, incomparable means so good as to be beyond comparison. Uncomparable is a negative, which means not subject to comparison. So speaking of the comfort of God, we could use both words. It is incomparable and it is uncomparable. Therefore, it is both. God's comfort has been the subject of this second half of Isaiah from chapter 40 and verse 1, where we read, "Comfort my people." The call to the prophet is to bring comfort to the people of God. Religion oppresses people. Man's religion puts people in human fear, fear of man, and no comfort. Whereas the religion, the right religion of Scripture, brings incomparable and indeed uncomparable comfort to the soul. So let us consider in these five verses these following four points. We want to look at the resource of comfort. We want to look at the removal of comfort. We want to look at the reminder of comfort. And lastly, the renewal of comfort. So first of all, the resource, or we could say the source of comfort, in verse 12 and the first part. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. It is God himself that gives comfort to his people. Again, going back to the first verse of chapter 40, it is comfort ye my people. It's said twice. It is comfort, comfort my people. The minister that does not bring God's comfort to the sheep is no minister and no servant of God, indeed no pastor of the flock. Back in verse 3 of this chapter, we read these words, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." So in chapter 43, verse 25, the means of that comfort is, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions." And one last text, Isaiah 66, verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." E.J. Young, on our present text, notes, by repeating the personal pronoun, in other words, "I, even I," the Lord draws attention to himself as the only sure source of comfort. When the Lord came to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 1, we read these words, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Words of comfort. Words not only not to fear, but to be assured that God himself not would just give him reward and give him a shield, but God himself was his shield and his reward. The resource of comfort, the source of comfort, is nothing less and no one less than the Lord himself. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. We are to seek our comfort in the source, and that is the Lord himself. And then secondly, we have the removal of comfort. The removal of comfort. If God is the God of all comfort, why do we read of its removal? Well, for the following four reasons in verses 12b to 14. First of all, the people forgot who they were. Look at verse 12. Who art thou, the Lord, through the prophet, says to them, who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? God brings attention to them as the people of God to challenge them. Why art thou, and who have you made yourself to be that now you are afraid of a man that shall die, of a temporary life as contrasted to that eternal life which is in the Lord? They should have considered the truth, not that it was written yet, but this truth that the scripture clearly teaches us. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They had forgotten who they were in their relationship with God. They had forgotten that they were the people of God, that they were the people that God had redeemed from Egypt, had brought through all the wilderness, and had brought them into the land of Canaan, and had conquered their enemies because they were God's people. This is the removal of comfort by forgetting who they were. And we forget our comfort when we forget who we are in relationship to our God. But then secondly, a removal of comfort by forgetting who God is in verse 13. And forgettest the Lord thy maker. Not only are you forgetting who you are in relation to me, but you are forgetting who I am in relation to you. I am thy maker that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And it's amazing that in the Lord giving the scriptures to Moses, those first two chapters lays before the people of God that their God is not just some local deity or some God among many gods, but this is the God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the maker of heaven and earth, that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. When we forget who God is and who we are in our relationship to God, we have forgotten everything that really matters. Because this one who is in us is greater than all the world. But then thirdly, not only was comfort removed because they forgot who they were and who God is, but thirdly, the fear of man's fury in verse 13. And has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is this fear? Where is the reason for this fear, God is saying to them? The fear of man brings a snare. Don't we read that in the Word of God? And when we've forgotten the Lord and when we have forgotten our relationship to the Lord, we are subject to all the fears that are illogical. And we are driven by strange fears, the fear of man, the fear of things that don't exist. constantly tempted to speak about the present day and the situation we're in, but we can make our own application quite easily. When we stop fearing God in that right sense, we will fear everything else that is not to be feared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord drives away all illogical reasons of phobia and so on. E.J. Jung notes on this, to fear implies presumption on the one hand and a disbelief in God on the other. God has commanded fear not. To violate this command is to be presumptuous, to assume that God's command is without meaning. Furthermore, it is to attribute to a man a power and an ability that he does not possess. And Calvin says the consequence is that when dangers arise, they are terrified and confounded and attribute far more to the power of mortal man in attacking than to the power of God in defending. You see, they'd forgotten who they were. They'd forgotten who God is, and therefore they had a completely skewed view of what the situation was, and the real danger was multiplied out of proportion. Fourthly, the removal of comfort is and leads to a fretting because of circumstances. Verse 14. Look at verse 14. It says, the captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. Do you see the point? There's a fretting. He's going to and fro, a bit like the devil in Job, going hither and thither, to and fro in the earth. That looking for his own freedom that he can achieve, or that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. Again, the application to our present day is amazing, isn't it? People are running around and looking for solutions and looking in all the wrong places. Rather than seeking the Lord, people are looking to mortal man, looking to the wisdom of man rather than seeking the Lord, who is the one who can give us not only the answers, but can give us the comfort that we so desperately need, that we yearn for. And yet we are looking not to the one who can give it to us. And that's why Paul says to the Philippians, be careful for nothing. And I love the way the Authorized says it. Some of the modern translation says, be anxious. I love the word careful, because the idea is, don't you, and again, it fits right in with our text, doesn't it? Don't you try to sort everything else out yourself. Don't you seek to be the one who fixes everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Fretting will remove our comfort from us. Forgetting who they are in God, forgetting who God is in them, the fear of man's fury and fretting because of circumstances all lead to the removal of comfort. Then briefly, in third point, is the reminder of comfort in verse 15. Three things to notice here. Of who he is in relation to them. But in contrast to verses 12 to 15, I am the Lord thy God. Remember this, that I am the covenant making and keeping God, Lord, in the capitals. I am Jehovah thy God. Covenant-keeping God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are to remember our relationship to him. This is the reminder of comfort. But secondly, of what he did for them. I am the God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Red Sea, divided by the power of God, opened up for them so they could walk on dry ground, and then closed upon the Egyptians again for them. Read Psalm 136. The whole of the psalm is this subject. For his mercy endureth forever. And it talks about all the providential blessings, especially the deliverance from Egypt of the people of God. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to the Lord, because he's our God and he has done all these things for us. The reminder of his covenant name at the end of the verse: the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh of hosts, is his name. As E.J. Young says, the fact that he is the covenant God of Israel is in itself cause for trust and assurance, a reminder of comfort. The God who gives us that comfort that we so desperately need. And then, finally, the renewal of comfort in verse 16. Notice as we close, 4 points. First of all, the means of renewal. The means of renewal. How does God do this? How does God renew that comfort to the people? It is, I have put my words in thy mouth. Two ideas here. He feeds the people the word of God, but he also enables them to speak the word of God. Even as we gather together tonight, we are hearing the word of God, we are feeding upon the word of God, and we are enabled to speak it. And as we speak the truth of God's word, it does what? It renews comfort to our souls. It comforts our hearts. It reminds us who God is. It reminds us who we are in him and that covenant relationship that we have with our God. But then secondly, the protection of renewal. Again in verse 16, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Are we not reminded of John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ says that we are in his hands and we are in the Father's hands, and that none can snatch us from him? This is the same idea. I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Psalm 46, God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. And therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Why? Because our God is our comfort. Our God is our strength. Our God is the one who keeps us in the protection of his shadow. Thirdly, the reason of renewal: that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. Now, this is not literally, but this is a contrast to quite often when the prophets talk about the heavens being shaken and the earth being shaken. Again, that's not literal. It means that everything is being thrown around in turmoil, the order of things. And here the Lord is saying, by the giving of his word to his people and by him becoming their protection, that everything becomes stable. The heavens are planted. The heavens are stable. The foundations of the earth are stable. Why? Because all is well in the relationship between God and his people. Or as Jung puts it, God places his words in their mouth, that thereby the heavens and the earth may be founded. When we are comforted in our God, all is well. All is well. And then lastly, the reassurance of renewal of this comfort. Say unto Zion, declare unto Zion, preach unto Zion, thou art my people. The Lord says to his people, to his covenant people, "Thou art my people, and I am thy God." What is the incomparable, the uncomparable comfort? God is our God, and we are his people. It is that which comforted Thomas when he saw the wounds and touched the wounds of Christ. "My Lord, my God." Incomparable comfort. Oh, may God comfort his people this night by his precious word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing together from Psalm 124. Again, singing God's word in the Psalms brings comfort to our souls, much needed comfort. Psalm 124, second version. "Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, when cruel men against us furiously rose up in wrath to make of us their prey." Verse 6. "But blessed be God, who doth us safely keep, and hath not given us for a living prey." Psalm 124, the second version, singing the whole of the psalm to the tune Finlandia.
"Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, to their teeth, and their teeth, and bloody cruelty. Him as a bird out of the foulest snare escapes away, so is our soul set free. Broke are their nets, and thus escaped we. Therefore our help is in the Lord's great name, who had not birth by his great power to frame.
Let us conclude in prayer, giving thanks to the God of all comfort. Lord, we confess before Thee that all too often we lack this blessed privilege of the comfort of God, because we forget so easily. We forget who God is and all that the Lord has done and done on our behalf, and the God who does not fail, the covenant-making and keeping God. O Lord, enable us to remember not to let these things slip, but to know our God, that they who know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. O Lord, comfort us. Comfort us in Jesus Christ as Thou hast done this night by Thy word. Feed us and fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, so that we would know the things that are given to us of God. We pray for Thy people, and for especially the members of our own congregation, and those whom we know in Christ. Bless our friends, our families, bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be merciful to us. Comfort us, O God, with that great gift of salvation that Thou only canst give. Forgive us for all our sins. Continue with us this night. And now the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.